Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am delighted to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, and we're going to start soon. So please get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or if you prefer to kneel, you could do that too, or in a chair. And if so, if you're on a chair, try to sit with your feet flat on the floor, unless that hurts, and then don't do that. Sit in a way that feels comfortable and as uplifted as possible. So 7 or 8 weeks ago, I started a little series on working with painful emotions and how our meditation practice can help. We started with anger. We then talked about grasping, neediness, I hope I can remember them all, then shame, then feeling inadequate, comparing yourself to others, fear, anxiety, and one more. I can't remember what it is, but all the links to those emails will be in this newsletter if you want to go back and listen or re-listen, but you don't have to. Today, I want to talk about one that's really hard. You know, the other ones are hard too. This one can be diabolically difficult. And I'm calling this particular emotion hate. What do you do when you feel hatred? Now, I know there are people who say, you should never say hate. I'm not one of those people. Hatred is something that one could feel. There are things that are hate-worthy. People and experiences and horrible, horrible things that happen in this world that I personally don't think it's wrong to hate. It certainly feels terrible. And the person it always does the most damage to is the hater, not the hatee. So when I feel hate or when you feel hate, what do? Knowing that the person who's going to receive the brunt of the pain is yourself. Well, let's explore that. I'll try to offer some helpful notions. So I just want to go back and say again, there are things and people that are hate-worthy. So I'm not saying you should be all nice and, oh, well, they had a bad day or, I don't know, a bad lifetime. We don't have to make excuses for people and occurrences that are hateful. In fact, we shouldn't. But how useful is it to use your hate as the basis for your actions and words and relationships? Usually not very useful at all. So weirdly, although hate is extremely uncomfortable, for some way more than others, but for all of us, hate feels like, oh, I guess got like some kind of a sickness. It's horrible. Weirdly, for some of us, sometimes, or all of us sometimes, to hate feels like the safe approach. Like, let me hide in my hatred. Let me give up trying to work with this or understand this or meet this experience. Let me instead fall back on, you suck. I hate you. I hate this. It can feel like a weird coat of armor to hate. I hear noises out there. It is not. It is not. Because here is what hate makes us do, among other things. It makes us divide the world into two categories, us and them. That's where all the problems start. So I'm not suggesting that you or I, nice people, good people, sometimes do stupid things, but basically decent human beings, should not or should think, oh yeah, I'm just like all the people that do the horrible things. Well, you're not. You're not. Nonetheless, when we create these two divisions, there's us on this side and them on that side, what happens is we feel license to dehumanize whoever's on that side, them. They're the problem. They're bad. They don't deserve anything. I wish they would go away. And you know what? I do too. But when I divide everybody into us and them, then I give myself permission to write off all the people I characterize as them, as stupid, unworthy, evil, all the things we might think about people who do things we don't like. And maybe that all those things are true. It still doesn't help to draw a line and say everybody that I don't like is on that side and everybody I do like is on this side. That's where hatred starts to feel like a safe haven. Oh, I'm with the people who think like I do. When I'm over here, I'm not as threatened. When I go out into the world, I might encounter the people who do the horrible things, and then I will not be protected. So hate is a kind of self-protection on very, very bad days. And it's a cowardly way out. I'll just say that, speaking from my personal experience with my own hate and just general observation, it's the coward's way to say you are the problem. Maybe you are the problem. But when I say it in a manner that drains your humanity in my heart from you, that was a very poorly constructed sentence, but I think you know what I mean. All I'm doing is laying the foundation for the problem that I think is so egregious to repeat itself and repeat itself and repeat itself. There is no instance in human history, as far as I know, where hate has quelled hate, where war has led to peace, maybe for a little while, but whatever we do to inflame a situation will come back and spit fire right back in our own faces. So now what? What do we do with these horrible things and experiences and things that people are doing that we genuinely and rightfully hate? How do we approach such things in a way that is actually helpful? Not babysitting helpful, not, oh, poor you helpful, but helps pierce and destroy even the situation that is so violent and bad for humans and other beings. Well, here's a place to start. I don't know, of course, is the real answer, but here's a place to start. And this is basically how the whole practice of loving kindness is constructed. It is based on one notion, which is we're not different. You and me, no different. Me and these people I like, no different. Me and these people I hate, no different. Now, of course, I'm not going to do violent, horrible things, as far as I know. But when I look at someone who is doing something I hate, for example, acting only in their own interest to preserve their power base, as opposed to doing what's right for the majority of people, for example, people who lie to get what they want, people who manipulate other people's minds for their own benefit, and of course, people who do violence against other people. I hate those things. I'm not like that. But if I ask myself, have I ever lied to get what I want? Yes, the answer is yes. Have I ever taken a violent action, not physically violent, but verbally violent or energetically violent, for lack of a better phrase, to hurt someone because I'm hurt by them? Sure, I have done that. So whatever you see that is horrible, if you look first within yourself to see, do I understand the flavor of that? Because I've done something like that. Now, it's definitely a matter of degree, but can I find that little impulse in myself to do what that person did or those people are doing? I promise you the answer is yes. So again, it's a matter of degree. We don't want to let anyone off the hook. We don't want to make excuses for people doing horrible things and go, oh, well, we're just alike. No. But when you can find within yourself the seeds of the motivation that they are expressing, we can remain in the world of us and dispense with the worlds of us and them, even if just for a moment. So this is very important, because when it's about us, all things are possible. Human to human, heart to heart, mind to mind, communication is possible. But when it's us and them, all our backs turn, our metaphoric and actual backs turn on these other people. Again, perhaps for very good reason. And then it's done. It's over. There's no possibility of forward motion. Absolutely none. So how do you enter into terribly upsetting and worse situations without making them worse and still declaring and proclaiming your truth? Well, this is where our meditation practice comes in extremely handy. Because first, it teaches us how to stay. When you sit on your cushion, and if this is your first time meditating, you'll see this momentarily, things come up, some usually pretty boring things. Let's just be frank. I'm worried about this, or I got to do that, or when is this meditation practice ever going to work? You know, the normal things. But sometimes what comes up is rage, heartbreak, extreme discomforts of all kinds. And then our meditation practice instructs us, with the vast exception of trauma, that does not apply here, that's a different category, but all the other feelings, the meditation practice says, stay with, be with, open to. And again, if you're working with trauma or think you might be, don't try this on your own, or pull back at the first moment of, uh-oh, I'm afraid of this. Don't hurt yourself, please. But otherwise, can you make room for what you feel? Well, our meditation practice says yes. Sometimes what we feel is hate, sometimes it's love, so on and so forth. Can you make room for it? Yes. So this is actually, because you just sit, you let your attention rest on the breath, you get distracted into a thought or a feeling, something goes, hey, that's not meditating. Oh, you let go and come back. It's still there. It's not like let go, let me shove this, you know, in the trash. It's here too. Anger, disappointment, delight, humor, sorrow. It's all here. It's all here all the time, basically. And in our meditation practice, we take our seat right in the middle of the whole situation. And one of the things that is so powerful and good about that is it reestablishes agency in situations where we might otherwise feel absolutely run over. So when you're faced with a feeling that you're like, I don't want this, I hate this, no, ixnay, and you try to banish it, that further entrenches feelings of disempowerment. Because when we're overrun by certain feelings, we feel powerless. We're powerless in the face of these things, but we're not. When we say, let me sit with this, let me acknowledge that this here too is here, we remain seated in our right in the middle of our life with agency, and that is the only empowering stance when it comes to these extremely difficult feelings, is to be with. So I guess I'll leave it at that. I hope that that is useful. Please let me know. Got myself all riled up here. But now we're going to sit and sort of return to home base. So please get ready for your practice. Begin by establishing your posture from the ground up, basically. Your legs and feet, your hands are palms down, just above the knee or somewhere that feels comfortable on your legs. Your back is straight and strong, your version of straight and strong. If you have back pain or injuries, then just do your best. And let the front body be very soft. The belly, the chest, the throat. Three gates. The gate of intuition, the gate of emotion, the gate of speech, communication, whoever made the system constructed it so that they're always open. And that can feel very vulnerable. But we have this strong back to support us and a soft front, receptive and open. Let your shoulders relax. Nothing to carry or lift. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long, and the mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And the mouth is closed because you don't have to talk. And that can be very delightful. Nothing to say, justify, explain. Just quiet. The breath is natural in and out through the nose. No breathing technique, just normal breathing. The eyes are open and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, up to 6 feet or 2-ish meters or whatever's comfortable given the distance of your screen. And the gaze is slightly cast down and there's a feeling more of receptivity rather than searching through the eyes. So as if what is in front of you comes toward you to be seen a little bit. And let the brow relax. Now let your attention come to rest on the breath, which means to feel the body breathing rather than observing the body breathe. We're feeling it. Feel the expansion on the inhale and the dissolve, the letting go on the exhale. Breathing in and out. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, no problem. Most of them will just come and go on their own. You don't have to do anything about them. I really mean that. We're not trying to fight our thoughts or place them here or there or diminish them or inflate them. Just imagine they're like birds flying through the sky. They just go by. But you're right here. However, if you notice that you become so absorbed by a line of thought that you are no longer aware of your breath at all, like you've gotten up, flown into the sky away with the birds, come back. Just come back. Notice that you're thinking. Label that moment thinking. Let go. With a light touch, just let go. Come back to this breath and begin again, feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together for a few minutes in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me, and thank you for practicing together. I'll be back at you next week. See you then.